I'd like to speak to you this morning about your Christian journey. I'd like to speak to you about some very simple and basic things about being a Christian and what it means to be a Christian. Maybe for some of you would think, Pastor, I knew that 70 years ago, and that's great. But I just felt today that I wanted to talk about some very simple and basic things about the Christian life. I want to talk about our journey. Everyone who decides and determines in their heart that they want to be a Christian must go through certain steps and places in their life of choosing to walk with God. Being a Christian, heart and soul, is a choice. Many choices that are a part of that along the way that help us to keep a focus on God and a focus on the things that are important to God. There's a lot of people out there that are Christian in our community, in our country, even around the world, who call themselves Christians. Being a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, is what makes us a Christian. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Walking with God on the journey of the Christian faith takes time and purpose. It takes effort. Walking with God is a choice of faith. Walking with God and keeping your mind and your focus on following Him and choosing Him is an element of your faith and what you believe about God. I want to encourage you today for a few minutes to think about your journey with God, how important that journey is. I want to talk mostly about that beginning part of the journey, but I also want to speak for a few minutes about other stages in your journey with God, how important all of them are. So many of you have been on your journey for a long time, and you know that there are steps that you have to take to stay close to God. You know that when you don't pay attention to that connectedness with God, then sometimes it seems like God is far away. God is far away. Sometimes when we don't do our part of our relationship with God, it's almost like we blame God for that. And we have that feeling in our heart that, well, God's way out there and He really doesn't know where I'm at. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't know my life and He doesn't have a plan for me. It's not because God moved. It's always because we have moved away. So many of you have been on that journey, walking with God. Over time, you've seen decisions and choices and how that have drawn you closer to God. Or you've made choices and decisions and you know that it has caused you to be further away from the heart of God and your closeness and your relationship with Him. There's some of you that are here today that are much newer on the journey, and you've just started, and you're learning and hearing about what it means to be connected to an infinite, almighty God. I want to say to you that God is reaching out to you, and He wants you to hear His Spirit and His voice. I think about the journey with God. I think how important it is for all of us of every age to realize that God wants us to take steps in that journey. And the younger you are, the least, well, not really age, but the less you know about God, how important it is that you take steps to hear what God says to you. I want to begin with a man and a story from the earliest chapters of the Bible, the first book of the Bible, chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. If you want to follow along, I'm going to read 4 verses. If you want to follow along in chapter 5, hear from chapter 5 in the first book of the Bible about a man whose name was Enoch. Verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. We don't know a lot about this man named Enoch, but we know that he lived a short life. In the early days of creation, the generations in these chapters of Genesis tells us that the men and women lived a long time. And it really wasn't until after the flood that the lives of mankind were reduced, kind of gradually in the beginning, and finally God basically said 70 years would be the average time of a person's life. But not Enoch. He lived before that time. He lived a short life. Relatively, he lived a short life. Go on to that next point, would you please, Hannah? Relatively, Enoch lived a short life. He only lived 365 years. Some of you may catch him. His father's name was Jared. He lived 962 years. And he had a son named Methuselah. Most of you have heard of Methuselah. You've probably never heard of Enoch. I'm guessing you guys have never heard a sermon about Enoch in your life. But anyway, his son Methuselah lived 969 years. That is the longest of any character in the Bible. Of course, this is before the flood. And when you think about that, 969 years. But in between Methuselah and Jared, you have Enoch. You might not recognize his name, but in between those two generations of these, both his father and his son that lived so long, you have a man, Enoch, who lived 365 years. And verse 24 says that he was no more because God took him. Enoch became the first of three that I can think of and in the Bible of people who never died. It's never reported that he died. God took Enoch. Why did God take Enoch without dying? This is an incredible story. He becomes the first person in the Bible who never dies. Verse 24 says it like this: Enoch walked faithfully with God. I want you to think about that idea. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Somehow, God saw in Enoch a person who made a choice and a decision when he was a young person that he was going to follow God and seek God. Enoch, of course, lived in those early days. I understand, if I got it right, he was the eighth generation from Adam. He walked with God. He's the first person in the Bible that I see that shows a deep relationship with God. Apparently Noah or Adam and Eve had it early on, and Seth did, but here we're told that Enoch was unique and different. Twice we're told in this scripture that he walked with God. It says he walked faithfully with God. He had a unique character and closeness with God. Maybe like Adam did when he walked with God in the cool of the day before sin, but Enoch walked with God. My question is, when I read this a little bit, I've always believed that every scripture in the Bible has something to say with us, say something to us. And to me, when I read this, this week, and thought about this verse, and thought about it, just said to me, Wayne, are you walking with God? So my question this morning to every one of you, are you walking with God today? There's choices that you have to make in order to walk with God. Enoch walked faithfully. Walking with God is taking steps continually toward and with God. Enoch had a character somehow and a faith that caused him to continually listen for the voice of God in his day, however that came, and move toward God. We can either be walking toward God or away from God. When we're at His side and we're walking alongside with Him, the Bible talks a lot about walking with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. But when we're walking with God, then we are moving toward His kingdom and what He wants for us. But when we're too busy or we're occupied or we're not paying attention to the things that are important for who we are, then we're turning our back away from God and walking away from Him. And almost everybody in Enoch's generation was in that boat. Leading up to the days of Noah, there were righteous people, but it don't sound like from what we read that there were very many people who were walking with God. But Enoch stands out. He was walking with God. turning toward Him. It's so important that you make a choice and a decision to be on a lifelong journey as a Christian toward God, with God. Going back to the basics this morning, I want to talk about the first step of your relationship with God. The first step is to acknowledge who God is. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Respect for God is the beginning point that God can speak to your heart about who He is. That He is the Creator and the Giver of life. Respecting God and listening to Him is the beginning. That's like when we just begin to turn toward Him. We become open and receptive and respectful that God exists. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The culture doesn't encourage us to do this. Entertainment does not encourage us to do this. But turning toward God is a beginning point of a journey. Once you begin to turn to God, then you'll have more and more opportunities to see who He is and understand who He is. Turning toward God is the beginning. God is already turning toward you. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us that God is already looking at you, even before you come to a personal faith and begin the journey. God is watching for you. It's like in the parable that the father is watching on the portals, on the porch. He's looking for the lost son to come home. There's something in that parable that Jesus was telling us about the heart of God, that God is watching for you. It's not like you have to create somehow this relationship with God. God's already there looking for you. If you're wondering about this journey and how it starts and what happens, I want to tell you that if you just call out to God, God's already calling out to you. He already has sent out His grace, His Spirit, His voice to call you to Him. Some people call this the grace of God that goes before. Somehow God is already reaching out to you. And He'll put things in your life to quicken you, to get your attention, to cause you to turn. He's reaching out to you with His grace. First, you become aware of it. Then you begin to see who you are in God's eyes. You begin to see your need. You begin to see what humanity is like without God. You begin to see, you know what the world is like. The evil that exists in our world because of the rejection of the authority and the personhood of God. You see these things and it's troubling to you. And then you begin to see things in yourself that you know you don't want and you don't like. And you realize that there's something going on. There's something in the world called evil and sin and separation from God. And God can use that to begin to work in your spirit and your heart about who you are and what you believe. God will begin to speak to you about things that you may be doing that violate His will, sin. God will begin to talk to you about who Jesus is. That Jesus came and lived a perfect life and He died on the cross for our sins. And you begin to hear scriptures, you hear thoughts about why Jesus died for us. And God is continually talking to you and drawing you. I'm talking to you about the first steps on a journey. And at some point in your life, you say in your heart, "Yes, I know I need God. I acknowledge that I need Him and I need His truth and I'm open to what He says." And you begin to hear more about what it is that Jesus did when He died on the cross. God is just drawing you. Thankful for God's Spirit that goes before us. And then you come to a place in your life on this journey, for those that go on the Christian journey, that they make a decision and a choice to choose faith. They choose to believe God. They choose to say, "God, You've revealed Yourself, and I am going to trust You that You are who You say You are. You are the Creator of the universe, the Giver of life, and I'm going to choose to listen to You, and I'm going to choose to believe that Jesus died on the cross, and He died on the cross for my sins." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to believe that He exists, and He rewards those that diligently seek Him. And so that choice of faith is so important on your journey. There will be many places on your journey that you have to make a decision of faith. But this one in the beginning, when you say, I believe God, I believe who Jesus is, and I turn to Him. Again, turning toward God. You turn to Him and you turn away from self. You turn away from that idea that I'm in charge of me, that I can do whatever I want to, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. When you come to that place, then you're getting closer and closer to saying, yes, Jesus, yes, God, I want to be on a journey with You. That's the beginning. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to know today that every person, in order to have eternal life and be connected to God, must be saved. They must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They must confess their sins. They must say, I choose Jesus today. And Romans says that it's partially in what you say. It's partially in what you believe in your heart. The main thing is God knows your heart. God calls you to believe in Him, to believe what He said, and to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive you and to come into your life. This is the beginning. Another way that it's been explained, and different people have different ways to talk about that point when you are turned toward God. Some people say there's ABCs of salvation. You've probably heard this before. I've heard it and heard it explained different ways. But very simply, I just want to say these three things. To become a believer and start on the journey. To admit that you're a sinner. To admit that you need God. To admit that you can't do it on your own. To admit that you're not good enough. And that you are dependent on God. Number two is to believe that Jesus died for you. To believe that Jesus, the Son of God, God sacrificed on the cross so He could take your sin. Becoming a believer and a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, is taking that step. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for me. And then to confess your sin and receive Christ by faith. The third part is like actually putting your weight in the chair. First two. A lot of people do the first two. They move toward God. They walk with God for a while. They get close to God. But they don't go on to the third step, which is so important. And that is to confess who you are before God and ask Him to forgive you, to receive Him. I want to say to you today, there's probably a lot of people out there that are Christian, like I said, in name only. They've done number one and number two. They know what the world's like. They know what their hearts are like. They know what their hurts are like. They know what their failure and their sin's like. And they believe that Jesus came. They believe He died on a cross in Jerusalem and may believe why He did it, but they haven't come to the third part. And that is to actually take the step of saying, I confess that I'm a sinner and I ask You, Jesus, to forgive me for my sins. We receive it by faith. We receive it when we say, God, this is who I am, and this is what I ask You to do. Across this congregation, I'm sure there are people at different places. Some of you were there long, long ago, but I know there's people that are here today that are in one, two, or three. And I want to say to you this morning, there's no decision more important in your life from going from number two to number three. God's salvation is a gift that God offers to you. Remember, He's reaching out to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. God offers this relationship. God isn't up in heaven sitting on a throne saying, I don't want them, or they're too bad, or, you know, I don't like them, and nah. God's up in heaven saying, all those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said that. Anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Today, if you want to go from number one to number A to number B to number C, I want to tell you that Jesus is reaching out to say, I want to receive you into my kingdom. I want you to be on the journey. Salvation. Today, there may be some right here who want to say that prayer, to ask Jesus to forgive them for their sins, and I want to invite you to do that. Another step on the journey, and partly why we're here today to celebrate, is the step of baptism. I want to tell you how important I think baptism is to you and your journey with God. Baptism goes right with that personal number C decision. Baptism is saying, I really mean what I'm seeing in my head and my heart. Baptism is saying, I'm taking the step of saying, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to walk with God. I want to go with Him. I want to be responsive and listen, and I want to be teachable. Baptism is saying, I do want to do what Jesus told me to do when I become a believer of Him. Baptism is a very important step with God. I think every person who is baptized should remember back to the day that they were baptized and that commitment they made. Every person who chooses the Christian life is to be baptized. Being saved and being baptized go together. They're in the Bible together, and they're in church history incredibly together. In the early church, you were not regarded as a believer until you were baptized. It was just a culmination of what you said that you thought and you believed and you chose in your life. And in the early church, baptism was big because oftentimes, especially during certain times of persecution, to be baptized meant you were stepping into persecution intentionally. You knew that if you were baptized, that made a statement to people that you chose Jesus. And many people that were baptized in the early centuries were martyred because they took that step of baptism. But it's the same way today in some countries. I know in India, I've been with Vinay, and at times, I wasn't there when he had a baptism, but I was there right after he baptized, I don't know, like 30 people or whatever, and he was telling me some of their stories, and he said, well, this man was baptized, told me his name, and said, and now his family will not talk to him. His parents have disowned him. But he chose to be on a journey with God, and that's hard. Other people in India and other places of persecution around the world, to be baptized means you become a marked person. You can't get a job. Your kids can't go to school. Sometimes it's physical discrimination. Baptism is what you say you really believe about your journey with God, and it's so important. Every person who chooses a Christian life, being baptized and walking with God go together. It's a part of the journey. Your baptism. Five quick things about baptism. Number one, baptism is an outward sign of what you've chosen in your heart. It's an outward sign of an inward faith. See, you can say what you believe. God knows your heart, but we don't. Your sister don't. Your mom doesn't know for sure. Your spouse, your pastor, your girlfriend, your cousin. We think we know what people think and believe, but we don't have perfect knowledge of that. Only God does. Baptism is you saying, I'm going to express my inward faith to the people around me. Baptism is a step of relationship with God. It's saying, this is important. It is following Jesus. Jesus was baptized, and he said, everyone who would come after me should be baptized. There are so many scriptures, and I don't have time to read a lot about baptism today, but just to say that the New Testament is full of references to the importance of your baptism. It's a promise to God. When you're baptized, you're making a promise to God. I promise to walk with you, to stay with you, to listen to you, to be receptive to you, to choose priorities in my life that say, God, you're important to me. Baptism is a step of saying, God, you're in charge of my life. And there's several steps in the journey about saying that. But baptism is kind of that initial time when you say, God, you're in charge. I'm making a promise to you. Baptism is also an understanding and embracing the body of Christ, the ecclesia. When you're baptized, you're baptized into the church, into the body of Christ. Understanding that God has a method of us being connected on the journey. I don't mean a local church. I don't mean this church. I don't mean just the Church of the Nazarene. I mean the body of Christ in faith. Baptism is something you're saying about the body of Christ. Think of the body of Christ. He suffered. He died. His body was broken. And then he gives us this parallel to the people that are a part of his church today. The body of Christ, when you're baptized, you're saying, I respect that. You're saying, to a degree, I'm a part of that. You're saying to a degree, I'm accountable. I'm no longer this solo island person who says, I, me, 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 self, self, self. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Baptism is an accountability to your relationship with people both inside the church and outside the church, the body of Christ. The last one, baptism is a public witness that I'm walking with God. I'm saying, you know what? I'm taking that step of saying that there's an accountability that's going to change in my heart and my life about who I am, my attitude, my perspective, my life. Baptism is associated with the receiving of the Holy Spirit. A couple scriptures say that when you repent and believe and are baptized, then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. We believe that when you become a believer, that you receive the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a sealing of the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 talks about that. It says, repent and believe and be baptized, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. Baptism is an accountability of what you really believe about the journey with God. Journey. There's so much more I want to say this morning, but I'm not going to have time, and we're going to have to move on and to pick that up somewhere else. So I think I'm going to end with three thoughts about journey, three slides, and then we're going to have a baptism time. Journey, the first one I'm going to share, kind of in closing this morning, is the ongoing importance, of listening to God when you're on the journey. If you drop the ball on this, you will become a cold Christian. You might look good on the outside. Might be a good person. Man, there's a lot of good people out there. But when they stop listening and talking to God, they become cold spiritually. And so the journey is saying, God, I want to stay close to your heart. I want to stay near to you. I'm going to do the things that help me to do that. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to ask God questions like, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my marriage? What do you want me to do with my relationships? Listening to God, a part of the journey. Number two, choosing godly influences. And this, of course, is a sermon all to itself that I don't have time for now. But choosing godly influences in your life. Your entertainment that you watch. What do you allow to come in and fill your heart and your mind and your soul with? Being on a journey with God actually has to reject a lot that's in our culture. I don't mean everything. For crying out loud, we love Andy Griffith and Barney. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's sad. Not everything out there is bad. I'm not trying to convey that at all. But there is ungodly junk that will pollute you spiritually and defeat you. If you allow those things to be what you are and who you are what you eat. You are what you listen to. Other things that are so important in this category. Again, I said I was going to stop, but I haven't yet. Choosing your friends. Young people dating. Dating someone who is on the journey too. How important it is for you to be able to do the Enoch type of life. All right, I'll move on. Number three, priorities and life choices. Priorities. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Decide who you are and what's important in your life, what you're going to hold on to and what you're going to value and what you're going to stand for. And what you're going to stand against. Journey. Oh, those choices are important. Hope that God will help you to move toward Him wherever you're at. Would you stand, please, as I pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for your gift of salvation. Thank you, God, that you're calling to each one of us and that you are wanting us to respond to your voice, to your word, to your will. I thank you today that, God, you're faithful and you love us. And you are just like that father watching from the porch, wanting his son to come back. That's how you feel about us. I thank you for that today. I pray, God, for anyone that's here and have maybe taken step A and step B, but they've never come to that place of confessing their sins and asking you to forgive them and to come into their life, that right now they would take that step of faith, and you would help them to be on that journey, and then they can hear you and listen to you and move toward you in every area of their lives, I pray. I thank you for Dalton today and his desire to be baptized and how we celebrate that. And I pray for Dalton. I don't know that I've ever prayed for Dalton publicly in a place like this, but today the opportunity to do that. God, that you would guide him to be the man that you want him to be in every way, God. I pray that his faith would get bigger, that you would answer the questions that he has about you, and he would make the choices to honor you with his life, I pray. I pray for all those that are here today, that they would be on the journey that you called them to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody can be seated but Dalton. Come on up here. Dalton and I had an opportunity about 3 weeks ago or so, something like that, to talk about faith and baptism and talk about his journey and where he was at. And he's come to a place of wanting to recommit, reconnect with God, and he cares about what's going on in our world today. And like many of us that are here today, he's thinking about the future and what's happening. And that's kind of prompted a little bit in Dalton to be thinking and asking questions. And Dalton has come to the place that he wants to recommit his life to Christ. And I'm excited for you. That's for you. Step in the tub, if you would. 3 weeks ago, we talked about how, man, maybe we should just open my pool back up and do it there. Then it was like 32 degrees, you know. But man, it's 74 degrees yesterday. We could go out to my house if you want to. But anyway, Dalton, it is a privilege. And I appreciate you talking with me and dialoguing with me. You know, I learn a lot when I talk to people about where they're at in their faith. And I am grateful today that you have made this decision to be baptized. I'm going to ask you two questions. Dalton, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you acknowledge him today as your Savior? Thank you. Question number two, do you make a promise today to God and all those that are here in this public place that you're going to live the Christian life? All right, that's great. Okay, I got a nice pitcher of water here. And I'm going to pour it over Dalton's head. And we're going to baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy. Would you stand, please, for this moment? Oh, yeah, take a bunch of pictures. Good. Would you send one to me? I asked him if I could have his picture, and you never know where I put him, but I need a good picture. All right. Dalton, what's your middle name, Dalton? Earl. Oh, wow. Dalton Earl Miller, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Congratulations, friend. I'll tell you what, you got pretty wet for not being in the Yonce pond. I'm so happy for you, Dalton. Praise God. I hope that today is a step for you that you're never going to forget. 2020, just remember for there. But also remember you're making a promise to God today, and that we celebrate with you. Let's sing the chorus, "We're One in the Bond of Love." We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Amen. Thanks for being here today. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. God bless.